Let me say again, welcome to Park Church. I want to extend a special welcome to anyone who's here for the first time, and I know there are some of you who are here with us. It's my sincere hope that tonight will be encouraging to you and will build you up, and I mean that. For every one of you who's here for the first time tonight, I want you to understand that. And then to those of you who invited people, if you invited someone and brought them with you, I want to extend my gratitude to you. We are here together for a good reason. We bring ourselves in one sense, but it is my conviction that God himself orders our steps often in ways that we don't know. For our own good, he brings us into certain moments for certain reasons. And I believe that tonight is one of those moments. This summer, our subject each week will be faith. Every week we gather, we will consider together the stories of God's people that show us what faith looks like. And I'm convinced in the work that I've done in preparing for this summer that there will be something here for everyone. For those of us who are already people of faith, and I know that a considerable number of you are, we will be challenged each week to go deeper, to know God better, and to trust God more than we ever have. And then for those of us who are here who are not yet people of faith, who have not taken steps to follow God, there will be each week for you a very simple challenge to take some next steps. All of us together will receive a clearer picture of what it looks like to be an individual or a church altogether of faith. A clearer picture or a vision of what it looks like to live as a person who has faith. To be very specific, to be a man or a woman who hears God's call and goes where God leads, who trusts God and takes a step, who knows the next step that God calls him or her to and leaps, takes a jump into following God. The way we're going to get into this subject, as I've said, is each week to approach the theme of faith through another story in which God comes to a man or a woman, an ordinary person, and invites them to extraordinary acts of trust, where God comes and makes the next step clear, and that person, even though they don't know where step two or three might lead, chooses to go because they have decided to trust God. Many of you have in your pasts. You have moments where God's will was clear to you and you took a step of faith and it changed everything. If you have that, would you nod? Many of you have that. Many who have that in their past have come to a place nonetheless where now God seems distant and they're not with God in the way they had been in the past. If that's you, my hope is that this summer you will be called once again to leap to follow God in faith. Others of you have been for a long time spectators. You've been like an individual watching other people swim in a river, and you've never yet jumped in. Maybe you've dipped your toes. Maybe you've thought about it and wondered what it might be like. My hope is that tonight, this summer, you would not hear my voice, but God's voice calling you to jump in, to take a leap of faith, so that you would see what would happen if you chose to trust God. And every one of us, at every moment, is invited again and again to do just that, to trust God, and to see what happens if we will. The story that we're going to consider tonight comes early on in the Bible. In the very first book, the book of Genesis, a book filled with beautiful and moving stories of human life. In the 12th chapter, the story of Abram, who later is called Abraham, begins in detail when God comes in and interacts with him. And tonight I want us to look at one small part of that story, the first three verses of chapter 12. Before we read it, I just want to give you a very brief background on the man. In chapter 11, we've been introduced to Abram's family. His father is named Terah, and he is a man who had been living in a land called Ur, had moved on from there to find a new place, to go to the land of the Chaldeans, we're told. And along the way, he found a place called Haran, and he liked it, and so he settled there. In the land of Haran, Terah had a family, and the family grew. There were sons, there were brothers, there were wives, there were children born, there were grandchildren born. Their life in that place was a settled life. And they were there so long that Terah died in Haran, but his family chose to stay there. And this is where we meet a man called Abram, whose wife is Sarah. And they, along with their relatives, live in this place where their life has been settled for long enough to have generations pass. And it is in this moment, in the 12th chapter of Genesis, that God comes to Abram with a specific call. And what we're going to see as I read these words, and I want you to listen before I read them, is very simply a story where God is inviting someone to have faith. And this God who invited Abram back then is the God who invites people like you and me, even now, to have faith. And I want to look at this story with you so that we can see a few of the basic elements of what faith is like, so that you might hear God's call to you, his invitation to you to take a leap. I want you to look with me now at the narrative that begins in Genesis 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Here's what we read. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. In those four verses, we see a very simple and clear invitation to faith and the response of faith in the man Abram. Those verses took me less than 30 seconds to read, but there's an awful lot pressed together in there. If you imagine the scene from Abram's perspective, you begin to see what a challenge this is. Abram lives in Haran. That's his neighborhood. That's where his home is and his father's home has been. That's where his relatives live. That's where his whole life has unfolded. That's where he has lived day after day. And in that place, in that environment that is his land, have any of you lived in the same place all your life? Have you, any of you? So only you know what it's like. We live in a time when people move around all the while. But if you've grown up in one place, you know what it would be like for Abram when God came to him and with a very simple statement made it clear that God had something specific for him to do. A very definite and crystal clear step that God was challenging him to take. And it's here in these two words in verse 1, go from. Go from your kindred. Go from your homeland. Go from the place where you've been all these years. God comes to him and gives him a very specific command. And faith, and this is the first thing that I want us to see together as a group and each one of us to see individually. Faith is knowing the first step that God wants you to take and taking it. And sometimes that step is going to be big, and sometimes that step is going to be small, but faith is first of all knowing the first step that God wants you to take. Now, I imagine for many of you that you don't know what God wants you to do next. Is that true for any of you in here? And you'd very much like to know. I know this because one of the themes that shows up in the time that I spend with many of you, and I love this time where we sit together and you talk with me about faith and about what you want to know and how you want to move and what kind of person you want to be. I rarely hear people say, "I know for sure what God wants me to do, but I just don't feel like doing it." Instead, I hear, "I would do it if I could only know what God wants from me next." Is that true for some of you? Yes or no? Yes? How did Abraham know? This is a question that comes. Abraham clearly knew. How did he know? I spent some time thinking about it this week, and it occurred to me that maybe the answer isn't terribly complicated. Maybe the reason he could hear from God more easily than many of us can, and myself included, is that he didn't have all the distractions in his life that you and I have. Think about what an evening would have been like for a family 3,000 years ago, and compare that to what an evening is like for you in your home today. The sun sets back then, and as soon as the sun goes down, it's time to sit around the fire, outside underneath the stars, surrounded by the sounds of simple conversation with your close friends and your family, and the sounds of nature. And that's it. When everybody else gets tired and go to sleep, the only sound that's left is what's stirring in your heart as the gentle breeze blows around you and the world passes by ever so slowly. In our time, the sun goes down and you might not know it because the lights are still on inside and you have Netflix and you have Hulu and you have your Twitter account and your Instagram and your Facebook and you have all of the, every one of those beautiful technological disturbances in your life. You have YouTube. And so you can throw your soul into the carnival of any person's desire with a camera to make something mean something to everybody in the world. And you are watching some woman singing about going to the bathroom on the toilet with 10 million other people. And you have no idea why. Have you ever seen that one? Please don't look it up. None of those things are necessarily bad in themselves, but listen now. Faith is knowing the one step that God wants you to take and then taking it. And that means knowing the step that God wants you to take. And that may be as simple as choosing to set aside the things that distract you for a time. To turn your phone off, to go off by yourself, to take a walk under the stars, and to try to listen. If you do that, if any one of you would do that for a half an hour or even an hour, to take a walk by yourself without distraction, I'm sure that there would be a stirring in your heart that would be the divine saying to you something specific. Here is what you should do. And for some of you, if you did that, if you took an hour, the call that you would hear would be something big, like Abraham heard, go from. Maybe you would take a walk and God would say, it's time for you to quit your job and start a new career. Or maybe you would hear, it's time for you to uproot your family and to move from the city that you live in so that you're closer to the church that you're a part of and you can invest your whole self in the mission there. Or maybe you will hear, it's time for you and your spouse to stop these other activities and get involved in student ministry and begin serving God by being with students. Or maybe you would hear, it's time for you to recommit to your job and be a shining light for Christ in that environment. Or maybe you would hear any number of big things from God. But faith is, first of all, hearing the first step that God wants you to take. And that will mean for many of us, unlike for Abraham, choosing to set aside all of those distractions. And then once we hear, choosing to take that step. Now, for most of us, it won't be something grand or big. And I'm sure of it. I'm sure that for many of you here, for many of you, there is some quiet but persistent voice of God that you haven't yet heard that is calling you to do something that will seem small but is nonetheless significant. This is how my life of faith began. It didn't start with a call from the divine saying, Christian, don't go into physics, become a pastor. If I had heard that, I would have said, no, that's ridiculous. I'm not a pastor. That's not how it happened for me. It was much smaller. I can remember, I was a sophomore in college, and I was studying physics. I was walking to the cafeteria with my friends, and there out in front of the cafeteria, there was a man sitting at a table with a sign that said on it, do you believe in God? And as soon as I saw that sign, it was like God was saying to me, Christian, go talk to that man. And I was embarrassed because my friends were there and I didn't want them to know that I was interested in such things. So I walked right past him. I went into the cafeteria. While I was inside, my friends were around me and the voice in me was strong. Christian, go back out there and talk. So I said to my friends, I forgot my meal card. I need to go back to my room. My life of faith started with a lie. I walked away. I came back out and I sat down next to that man and I said, I do believe in God. And that conversation, that first step, that one small step that I knew God wanted me to take, it led to me being in a Bible study where months later that man said to me, you should go get involved in youth ministry. You should. And so that semester, I heard through that man's words, again, another step that God told me to take. And so I did. I started driving back to the church that I grew up in every Wednesday evening. My junior year, I went back to do youth ministry. I ended up leading one of the freshman discussion groups with those students. And the subject for the night was about following God's plan for your life. And so I was leading these freshman students in trying to discover the future that God had for them. When one girl, Shelly Merritt, the only time I ever met her was that night. I'll never forget her name. She turned the discussion back on me and said, what's God's will for your life? And I said, to be a physicist. And she looked at me and said, you're not a physicist. You are a youth pastor. Now, I didn't quit physics then, but there was another moment where I took a definite step that God was saying to me in my heart, take this step. And that's what faith looks like. It looks like knowing the step and taking it. For some of you, it might be little. It might be to take the step to come each week to worship this summer and to, with open eyes, look at the stories of people of faith. And not just spectate from a distance, but imagine your own self in those stories. For some of you, it might be to answer the tug that you felt in your heart, to get involved in something like a Bible study, maybe a community group. We have those in our church because we believe that those are places where God calls people into further faith. It might be to have a conversation with a friend that you've been putting off, but God has been nudging you to have. It could be any number of things, but faith is knowing the first step that God wants you to take, and then, look what happened again in the story, and then going. God said to Abraham, go from, so Abram went. And that's faith. I want to say this as an aside. You must hear this. Every step of faith that you take will always be met by God's faithfulness. Every time. Never have I heard a prompting of God and followed that step and then been disappointed in God. Always and every time God has been faithful. That doesn't mean it always turns out as I would have expected. It never does for people of faith. It doesn't for Abram. It doesn't for any of the people that we're going to look at this summer. It hasn't for me and for every person who I've ever talked to about faith. The first step was the one that they took because God said, take it. They didn't know where it was going to lead, but they took it. And that's the second element of what faith looks like. And tonight is simple. And I want to keep it simple on purpose because I don't want to complicate this. I want this to be so clear and simple to each of you that you leave with this clear sense that faith is knowing the first step and taking it. But here's the second element of faith that we see so powerfully in this story. And it's in my story and many of yours as well. Faith takes that first step not knowing what the second step is. This is so remarkable in this story. Imagine you're Abram and God says, go from everything you've known. Let me ask you this. Would you want to know where you were going to end up? Would you be the kind of person who says, okay, I'll go, but first tell me where I'm headed. I'll let go of these other things, but only if I know what I'm going to do next, and then after that as well. Some people, they never make any decision unless they know every single detail, right? That's how it works for some of us too. And I know many of you have said, I'm pretty sure God wants me to do this, but if I do this, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then you decide not to make that step because you're not sure where it's going to lead. But Abraham shows us that true faith is taking the first step without knowing the second. And it's as simple as this. Look at what God said to him. After telling him what he was going to leave, he said, to the land that I will show you. And that means, essentially, that there are only two things that Abram knows for sure about his destination. The first thing he knows for certain is that he doesn't know his destination. And the second thing he knows is God does. And you must hear me. Faith will mean you don't know your destination, but God does. If you are willing to know the first step and go the first step, it will mean taking a step that leads to a second which you don't know, but God will know it. And the conviction of the people of faith throughout the millennia is that taking any step following God, even if it leads you into the unknown, is the best step you can take. And I wish that I could present to you all kinds of assurances and promises that the next step will be like this or that so that it could clear up all mystery. That's a part of what I want to do for you. But I think that it is essential to faith that it is a call into the unknown. And that's why leap is such a good image for faith. It is a jumping into what you cannot know. Not just what you don't know, but what you can't know. God invites him to come into something he will not know. That means his journey, he'll know very clearly what he's leaving behind, and he'll only know the next step, but beyond that, nothing more. And God's invitation to faith is an invitation to make that bold and courageous step into the unknown. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen someone make that kind of step, knowing that something was the right thing to do and not waiting and measuring everything out, but just jumping in to do it with courage? Have you ever seen someone do that? Have you? Is it inspiring to you? It's inspiring to me. I remember the first time I saw this with real clarity. I was at scout camp. I was probably 10 or 11. Did we have any scouts here? I bailed on scouts right after I got my pocket knife. That's the only reason I stayed in it. But at scout camp one summer, there was a kid named Clooney. I don't think his name was George, but this was one of those kids, you know, touched a little bit. like wild eyes and crazy hair, Clooney. One afternoon, we were all gathered around the campfire, and this kid, Jed, had assured all of us that he would eat a live salamander. And like, if you want props among, you know, among the scouting community, you do something like that. And so Jed, he wanted props. And so he assured us all as we were hiking along, oh, you guys find a salamander, I'll eat him. You're going to have to give him some money, but I'll do it. And so we all ponied up. We got like 20 bucks together. And there we are sitting around the campfire with Jed swearing up and down that he'll eat a salamander. And then after all of his assurance and confidence, and this seems like a real act of faith, right? After all of his assurance and confidence, someone pulls out a real live salamander and now he changes his tune. Now he's not so confident. Now he's holding that wriggling, dirty, living thing in his hand, and he's hemming and he's hawing. And he's saying, I'm not sure, I don't know, and he's thinking about it, and that's the problem. It's like eating an oyster. You don't look at it, you just eat it. And now he's looking at it, and he's imagining it, and he's thinking about it, and he's measuring it in his mind, and he's saying, if I take this step, what step? He's imagining getting sick and throwing up a living thing. And what he's doing is he's backing off from the confident leap that he was originally going to make. This illustration sounded a lot more appropriate in my office, but here he is standing there, and then up comes this kid, Clooney. He walks, and he's like, what are you guys doing? He looks at Jed, who's a whitish green. He looks at the salamander in his hand. He looks at the money. He doesn't even need to know. He doesn't even need to ask. He knows what's going on. He grabs the salamander out of the kid's hand, and he goes, keep your money. And he throws it in his mouth, and he walks away. That was it. Yeah. Now, listen, I will not tell you that God wants you to eat living salamanders. I won't say that. But I want you to understand that in that young man's step, that courage to do that thing, there's something in it that's attractive because faith, knowing the step that is the right step, not because you want to show off in front of your friends, but because God is telling you to do it and doing it, that's beautiful. And sometimes the step that God will ask you to make will look as strange to the people who know you as eating a live salamander. Just think of Abram's surroundings. All of those people who knew him, who knew he had a good house, knew he had a good field and animals and a settled life. And now he says, you know what? I'm leaving. Where are you going, Abram? I don't know. I'm going to go somewhere where God's going to tell me. I have no idea what step two is, but God's telling me to do it, and so I'm going to do it. That would look just as strange as that Clooney act of throwing that living thing in his mouth. And many other things that God will call you to will look that strange to the people around you. Generosity. Serious that generosity that is sold out to God, that believes everything I have comes from him, looks really weird to the world around us. When someone makes a lot of money but lives in a humble place and uses the resources they have to support others without thought of reward for themselves, but says, I will invest because I believe the best thing to invest in is God's kingdom. That looks really weird to people. Or choosing, without any thought of reward, to spend your time as a young adult with high school students who might not give you all kinds of praise for the time you spend with them, but believing that God wants you to witness to them, going out into the world and being creative about how to share God's love with them. That will look strange. Or listen, living as a generous high school student or middle school student with the kids around you, not being like all the other kids, but following God and being generous and gracious and kind. That will look so weird to the people around you. But that's the step that God calls you to. And who knows what will happen to you socially if you do that? Or who knows what will happen to you financially if you give so much? Or who knows what will happen to you if you give so much of your time and energy to service of others in God's name? You don't know. And I'm not going to tell you what will happen if you do that. I will tell you that it will be a step into the unknown. God invites you to take a first step to the land that he will show you. And that's a step of faith. But listen again, let me say this. If there is any step that you think God is calling you to, anything, don't wait until you know exactly where it's going to lead to take it. Don't do that. Settle yourself down and listen. And then when you hear him saying, take this step. Invest in this friendship. End this relationship which is destroying you. Follow this path rather than that one. Spend some time cracking the Bible open and read some of the words there. Invite your friend. Whatever you're hearing the divine say to you, take that step. God will always prove faithful. Do it. Leap. Take the jump. Every person of faith who hears God's call and responds into the unknown will tell you what I am saying to you now, that it will never be a choice that you regret. In Abram's case, who becomes Abraham, the details of the promise that God makes, though it doesn't include the geographical destination at this point, it does include some other details. When God came to Abram, he said to him, after telling him to leave, he said, I will, and he said a number of things, I will give you descendants. Abraham at this point in his life is very old, his wife is very old, and they don't have kids yet. And so the step of faith for him is weird because it doesn't look like he can have children, but God's now saying, you go and follow me and I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you land. It unfolds in more detail as the book goes along. You are going to possess a good land. And you're going to settle there. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. That's God's way of saying, I will protect you all at every step. If you follow me, there's always going to be my protection. And then he says this, and this kind of sums it up, all of it up, what God's promises to Abram. And this I want to highlight because I am confident that this is God's promise. And this is the third element of faith. This is God's promise to every man and every woman and every child who will move in faith. It's there in verse 2. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God blesses the person who moves in faith so they will bless others. And every act of faith and every step of faith is good for you and the people around you. And if you will take it, listen now, you have to be prepared to have your definition of good redefined. But every time you have to change your understanding of what good is so that it's further from what you thought and closer to what God says, you will be glad for the change. Because the good that God leads us to is the best. But every time a person takes a step of faith, it is a step that will bless them and the world around them. In Abraham's story, this is as central to the biblical story as you can get. This man who has no children, when he listens to God and goes, his wife becomes pregnant, they have descendants, and it is through his descendants that David the king comes, and through his descendants that Jesus the Messiah comes. If Abram had said no, and his wife had not become pregnant, we wouldn't be here. There would have never been the seed that God through which God redeems all of us and invites us all into faith. Jesus Christ is the result of Abram's faith in this moment. Abram decides to believe and trust, and through that, God brings about that goodness for all of us. And for you and me, each one of us, this is what we must hear and own. If we know the first step that God calls us to and take it, even though we don't know what step 2 or step 3 or step 4 is, the one thing we can count on is that through our obedience, God will bless us and bless the world around us. Over and over again, in these 10 years, these 12 years that I've been out in this area, the thing that I've seen more than anything else is the blessing that God confers upon those people who are willing to trust Him, and not just for them personally, but for the people around them. The stories of God's faithfulness through the faith of His people are the most inspiring and moving thing that I've yet experienced in my life. For me, it's never been an audible, divine voice, go this way. It's always been the simple nudging, the simple sense that here is the next step that I want you to take, and then the beauty of God's faithfulness. Maybe God is saying to you, it is time for you to strike off in a new direction. You won't know where it will lead, and maybe you're tentative about it, but you trust God's word through this passage that you take that step and it will be for you a blessing and for the people around you a blessing. I know that there are many ways that I see this when I imagine this community of faith undertaking this. For those of you who are here as visitors, and you'll go another place, if you would respond to God's call to faith, whatever that step is, you will find that you become a light in the place that you go to after being here. For those of you who are Christians already and your life has become stale and the faith that you used to have seems distant, if you would listen tonight and respond in faithfulness to whatever God's calling to you, you too, watch what happens when you do. For us all together as a church, I see so many ways that we're called to acts of faith, knowing God's first step. The building that we've been talking about, which is a big step for us, a very big challenge. I want repeatedly to ask us to see that as a step of faith, as a step of responding to God's next call to us so that He will do what He did through and for Abraham here, blessing us and blessing the world around us. Every step of faith is meant to do just that, to take what we can give and turn it into a blessing for the world around us. I want to make this as simple and as clear as I can for us all together and as a church. And I want to remind us of our vision to do that, to make it as plain as I can. The elders spent a lot of time on this, listening for God's call and discerning this vision, that we would be a community where people are growing as Christ's followers, working together to share Jesus with others in Monmouth County, inviting and inspiring others to follow Him. That's our calling together. That's the step that God is calling us to. The ways that we will do that will be when each one of us individually and all of us together choose to be attentive to God and respond in faith. If we do that, we can count on God's blessing for us and the people around us. For us individually, and this is the challenge that I put before each of you, because this challenges us as a church, but all of us individually as well. And now I'm thinking of some of you that I've spoken to about the next step that God is calling to you. Here it is. Whatever that step is, whether it's small or great, take the step. Leap. Let God call you to jump because of these words. If it's investing in a relationship that God has for you, invest. If it's ending a relationship that has lived its course and is ruining you, end it. If it's trusting God with your money in a way that you've never done so before, trust Him. If it's gathering with other Christians and serving God in a way that you are sure that He's been nudging you toward, do it. If it's shifting your priorities so you can invest in your family in a way that you never have but you know you're meant to, invest. If it's recommitting to your job so that you shine as a light for Christ in your workplace, shine. If it's pursuing a life of service to others in God's name, go for it. If it's choosing to trust God for the very first time, even a tiny bit, do it in your heart even now. If it's the leap of coming back to God in faith after a long time away, whatever step it is, take it. The invitation to faith is an invitation to take the first step that you know God wants you to take, even when you don't know the second, believing that God will bless you and the world through you as you leap. I want to pray now that God's Spirit would encourage each one of us to do that as the musicians come to lead us in worship as we continue. Let's pray. God, I thank You for this great story of Your coming to Abram and calling him to go from the place he was to a new place. I thank You for the way it illuminates faith for us.